These are the last days, and wickedness must come to a full. 2 Timothy 3, 12-13. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The power of wickedness and deception proliferates, and darkness steadily deepens. Judgment draws nigh. This is not good news for the sons and daughters of Adam. But the deeper the darkness, the more dynamically bright shines the candle of salvation. And to the sons and daughters of God who dare to hold the standard high, this is very good news. Today is the day of salvation, but be advised, this is a limited time offer. Have you been born again? This time of the Spirit of God? This time as a son or daughter of God? Your time is running out, and darkness and its bondage deepen. Today can be the day all your sin and shame is washed away. Today, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, can be the Lord of your life. Today, you can participate in the greatest miracle of all time. Make your move now. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now, for today's subject. God said, Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. God said, Psalms 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God said, Psalms 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God said, Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God said, Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Man said, according to S. Harris in a letter to a Christian nation, belief in the biblical God finds no support in our growing scientific understanding of the world. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature article 785, which will once again confirm the full veracity of God's Bible. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, it grows by one. All of these features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the edification of the redeemed and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. Thank you for coming. May our God's face shine upon you with light and truth. This is the last article in a two-part series titled, Why Must Every Book Bow? An outline of the first feature follows. 129,864,880 book titles are listed digitally, not including an untold multitude of forgotten ones, and every one of these books must genuflect before the Word of God, every one. According to a report from the United Bible Society's 32.1 million full Bibles and more than 372 million selections from the Bible were distributed by them alone in 2012. Over 6 billion Bibles have been printed. Millions upon millions of lives have been quickened by the Word of God. Multitudes of men and women, devastated and ruined by sin, have been transformed into champions of the cross of Christ by God's book. Every book must bow because the entire universe has been created by God's words. Even the word universe means one story. Uni, one, verse equals story. It's made out of words. The world's first phonologic and non-pictorial alphabet has been traced to Mount Sinai and Moses, where God gave him the Ten Commandments and the first five books of the Bible. Jesus calls himself the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, and all the words in between. He is God's creator of the universe, one story. All books, all words exist by his good pleasure. Revelation 19:13 informs us that Jesus Christ's name is the Word of God. All books which are thoughts and ruminations of men must and finally will bow. Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. End of review. Why must every book bow? An interesting dichotomy exists. On one hand, man rejects God's Holy Bible. On the other, his daily speech is laced with its principles, and even carnal man's cursing is filled with God's name. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature. The undeniable allness of Christ defies enemies of the cross. The ubiquitous Christ is found everywhere in the very language we speak. Everything revolves around Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ is God's right hand. Psalm 17:7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Psalms 20, verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Psalms 78:54. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. Psalms 48:10. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Psalms 118:15 and 16. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Consider the word right. In the word right, you will find Jesus Christ as in the right way, righteousness, one's rights, and the right hand, a right spirit, the right hand of power, and so on. Matthew 25:31, 34, and 41. So when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Wilford Funk, in his book Word Origins, had the following to say about the word right. Those words, for example, that have to do with the right hand are usually good words. They are forthright, honest, and complimentary, while words deriving from the left hand are bad words and for some reason under suspicion. A business executive never speaks of his left-hand man. Rather, he depends on his right-hand man, and this assistant of his tries to keep on the right side of the boss, certainly not his left side, that is, if he is in his right mind. We have that dexterous girl who is skillful and quick in her knitting and housework and in everything she does. And dexterous is directly from the Latin term dexter, which meant right or right hand. Sometimes such a person is ambidextrous. And since the Latin term ambi means both, we are actually claiming that this individual has two right hands. Those who are as deft as this are often called adroit. And adroit is a word formed from the French adroit, which meant to the right. But when we turn to the left, the story is a different one. To be a rightist in politics is good, but the leftist is considered dangerous by conservatives. And while a left-handed compliment is not really dangerous, such a one is given with no good intent. A gauche young lady is one who is socially ill at ease and always doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, and in French, gauche means left. Such an individual is bound to be awkward and gawky. And before we leave it, gawky originally signified left or left-handed too. Sometimes in the world there are men of sinister aims, that is, aims that are evil, corrupt, and dangerous, and this same word, sinister, appeared in Latin with no change of spelling and meant left. In English, it still retains the old meaning, to the left side, end of quote. Jesus Christ is the origin of the word right, and it permeates the human language. Funk expounds on the word bless, and he says it means redden with blood, he writes. A gracious word with a grisly history. Its forefather was Old English bleedson, a word that meant to consecrate with blood. This, of course, from the blood sacrifices of the day. In later English, this word turned to blessin', and the term finally came to mean consecrated. So today, when you give the greeting, God bless you, you are actually saying, God bathe you in blood, end of quote. Jesus Christ is the blood sacrifice that makes us acceptable unto God. He is the believer's blessing. It is his blood that washes us from all sin. Thus, the word bless means redden with blood. Consider the word atonement that Funk defines as becoming at one. Again, he writes, atonement, which was first used in a religious sense, actually meant at one-ment. Early authors were wont to write the phrase to make a one-ment with God, meaning to be reconciled with God, to be united with him and at peace, end of quote. Jesus Christ is the atonement that makes us one with the Father. The entire language is laced with Jesus Christ, whose name is the Word of God, from the word holy day, which is now called holiday, to the word goodbye, which is the shortened form of God be with you, end of quotes. Why must every book bow? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word. All words are his invention for man. Therefore, all words in all mouths and in all books must bow. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Start Talking. There is a solution. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is called the Word of God. If God created our beings and all that we see out of words, then there should be proof everywhere of this truth, and there is. This wisdom is one of the greatest secrets of all time. All things, your home, your computer, your car, your body, and the world are literally formed out of words, God's words. To man, such a concept is bizarre and hard to fathom, but this feature will simply once again prove the veracity of the Holy Word of God. Years ago, I was talking to a man about Jesus Christ. He told me that what I had to offer was just words, as though words are of no consequence. I asked him, "What if I can prove to you that all things are created from words?" He answered me in a challenging tone, "Try it." The following explanation ensued. I asked him how he had arrived at the event we were attending. He said that he had driven up in his car. I told him that I would prove that his auto was a simple compilation of words. I explained. Long before the first car was ever created, a man rode down the road in a horse-drawn buckboard, taking all day to do what takes us just minutes in our modern vehicles. He thought, "Boy, I'd love to have a horseless carriage." Those were silent words in his head. He went home and grabbed a tablet and a pencil and wrote down his plan to create a horseless carriage, written words. I asked the man what we had so far, and he replied rightly, "Words." Next, the excited inventor went out into the field and dug up some iron ore and other necessary materials, which God had spoken with words into existence out of that which is invisible, processed them into steel, and drove away in the first car, his horseless carriage. I asked my friend, "What is a car made of?" He responded, "Words." Everything is made of words, God's words. Even when a person becomes a new creature in Jesus Christ, he literally speaks himself into existence. This is his first supernatural act as a son of God. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Harnessing the power of God's creative words heals the mind and the body and empowers one to set a course for life, life more abundantly, even unto eternal life. Top neuroscientists were interviewed in the May 2005 issue of Discover magazine concerning what they considered to be the most critical development in neuroscience in the past 25 years. A dominant theme, the concept of plasticity of the brain kept reoccurring. The amazement in neuroscience is that the adult brain actually adds neurons and literally changes form. Brain plasticity means that the shape, size, and the number of neurons and synaptic connections change with experience. Elizabeth Gould, professor of psychology, Princeton University, weighed in with the following. One of the most important advances in the field of neuroscience in the last 25 years was the recognition that the adult brain exhibits both functional and structural plasticity. Indeed, an entire subfield of neuroscience has emerged that focuses on plasticity as a basis for understanding brain function under normal conditions as well as after brain damage. Because of this large body of work, we now know that the shape, size, and number of neurons and synaptic connections change as a result of experience. The big news in the field of neuroscience is that the brain is plastic. It changes form over time, and words and experiences are central to this process. Thousands of years before neuroscience was even conceived, God declares this principle over and over again in His Word. Example, Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The godly renewing of the mind, making new the mind, actually transforms your entire being, mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. This process, through a very dramatic, life-changing experience, is what Jesus Christ calls born again. The Word of God renews the mind, and we are transformed. Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the American English Language defines transform to change the form of, to metamorphose. Metamorphose is defined to change into a different form. Again, Webster defines it in theology as follows. Change the natural disposition and temper of a man from a state of enmity, war, to God and His law, into the image of God, or into a disposition and temper conformed to the will of God. End of quote. The call to put on the mind of Christ is the call to be transformed into the likeness of God. God changes our entire being with words, His. So neuroscience now understands that the brain can be transformed. The Word of God, the foundation of all that is true, proclaimed this revelation thousands of years ago. Putting on the mind of Christ literally changes the formation of the brain. Let's read Romans 12:2 over again. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Neuroscience knows this is neuroplasticity. Transform simply means to change form. God's renewing of the mind process will change all aspects of a person's life, and it begins as a result of direct intervention of God's Spirit in the believer's mind. This process of godly mind transformation begins with a miracle and proceeds through a combination or continued series of miracles. Miracle 1, born again. Miracle 2, the chain-breaking power of the open confession of Jesus Christ with the mouth. Miracle 3, a public water baptism by immersion. Miracle number 4, the supernatural baptism of the Holy Ghost as received on the day of Pentecost. Miracle number 5, the daily study of the Word of God, which continues the process of mind renewal. The born-again experience is not turning over a new leaf. It's a new, all-new life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Neuroscience begins to understand neuroplasticity, but God is already there. End of quote. America, the world, and you and I need a word transfusion. David Kupelin, in the April 2013 issue of Whistleblower, under the heading of "Americans Snapping by the Millions," listed very stark data regarding the mental health of the United States. Listen to these things. 1/3 of U.S. employees suffer chronic debilitating stress. 1/2 of all 18 to 33-year-olds experience levels of stress that keep them awake at night. 75 to 90% of visits to the doctor, to the general practitioner, are stress-related. Stress is now known to play a major role in the progression of cancer. The CDC reports 23% of U.S. women take antidepressants. 11% of Americans 12 and up take SSRI antidepressants that are mood-altering drugs with suicide warnings. Statistics show an alarming correlation between antidepressant-medicated students and school shootings. Suicide surpasses car crashes as a leading cause of injury and death. 20% of New York City children 6 to 12 have been diagnosed with ADHD, anxiety, depression, or bipolar disorder. April 2013, Psychology Today reports 14 million U.S. adults suffer from borderline personality disorder. 5.7 million U.S. adults have bipolar disorder. In a given year, 2.4 million American adults are diagnosed with schizophrenia. Approximately 6 million U.S. adults experience panic disorders every year. Imagine that the solution to all of these maladies are words. God's words. Words from God's book. End of quote. From the God Said, Man Said feature harnessing word, power, and editing DNA, you'll find the following. Since the publishing of the original Made Out of Words feature on God Said, Man Said, new insights into the nature of DNA have also been shocking, to say the least. And reading these various reports, the concept of language stands out in dominant form. Of course, if all things are constructed from words, that is precisely what we should expect to see. The following passage from Lee Strobel's new book, The Case for a Creator, reads, "The 6 feet of DNA coiled inside every one of our body's 100 trillion cells contains a four-letter chemical alphabet that spells our precise assembly instructions for all the proteins from which our bodies are made." Cambridge-educated Stephen Meyer demonstrated that no hypothesis has come close to explaining how the information got into biological matter by naturalistic means, in other words, evolution. Dr. K.P. Wise has a B.A. from the Department of Geophysical Sciences at the University of Chicago and an M.A. and a Ph.D. in paleontology from Harvard University. While at Harvard, he studied under the world-famous evolutionist Stephen Jay Gould. Dr. Wise authored the book, Faith, Form, and Time. His book fully endorses the Word of God, including the young earth premises. Wise goes on in depth on the subject of DNA and words. The DNA molecule has hierarchical coding as well. DNA includes a string of four different nucleotides, quinine, cytosine, adenine, and thymine, the building blocks of DNA, analogous to the three building blocks of Morse code, dots, dashes, and gaps. The four nucleotides of DNA are arranged in sequences of three, called codons, to code for the 20 or so amino acids used in living organisms, analogous again to Morse code, coding for the 26 letters of the English alphabet. This characteristic of DNA is so much like language that it is commonly called the genetic code, and the name codon is given to the set of three nucleotides that code for a particular amino acid, Wise says. At every level of structure, DNA uses codes. At every level, DNA has parts that are designed to be interchangeable. DNA's information seems to be arranged according to complex rules, and DNA is formed within a complex cellular system designed to translate DNA information into a form usable by the cell to create specific structures the cell needs and to place them in their proper location in the cell. End of quote. All of these characteristics are shared by human languages. On several different levels and in several different ways, DNA has the structure of language. All organisms on Earth, from bacteria to animals, protists to plants, algae to fungi, have DNA. Evidence of language is found in all of Earth's organisms. In a multi-page feature in the publication Science, the headline reads, "Finally, the Book of Life and Instructions for Navigating It." The DNA molecule is a 3.3 billion letter book. DNA has not only been constructed by words, but all of its information is just words. End of quote. Considering the following excerpt from the October 2013 issue of Discover magazine, the paragraph was found in the feature titled, "Life as We Grow It." In many ways, Writing DNA code is becoming like writing computer code, but instead of ones and zeros, it's written in A's, C's, T's, and G's, abbreviations for the four interconnecting nucleotides that form DNA's ladder-like structure. The four-letter language of life allows scientists to see inside biological systems and attempt to reprogram them. End of quote. Words. Everything is words. Why must all the world's books and all of its words bow before the Bible of God? The Word of God is a person, Revelation 19:13, and His name is called the Word of God. By Jesus Christ, God created the entire universe, one story, and He did it with words. Colossians 1:19 reads, "For it pleased the Father, that in Him should all fullness dwell." That's why. God said, Revelation 19:13, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. God said, Psalms 138, verse 2, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God said, Psalms 12, 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God said, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." God said, Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Man said, according to S. Harris in a letter to a Christian nation, "Belief in the biblical God finds no support in our growing scientific understanding of the world." Now you have the record.